Tonight's shiur is titled Parshas Balak, and we're going to be discussing Bilam's relationship with his donkey. This parsha is well known for the experience of the donkey opening up his mouth and speaking to Bilam. It's the most famous aspect of this week's parsha, and most people focus on the miraculous nature of how or why Bilam's donkey opened his mouth and spoke to Bilam. But I want to focus this year on the idea of it, what the purpose of creating this nace was. Because if God was trying to convey a message to Bilam, why did it have to be through the donkey, the opening of the mouth of the donkey? Which I think is a powerful question. Before we get into that question, let's just a little bit of background on the parsha. You have this Navi, his name is Bilam, and he was into soothsaying and wizardry, but he still got nevuah from Hashem. And Balak, the Melech of Moab, the king of Moab, he's nervous about Klal Yisrael. He tries to hire Bilam to curse Klal Yisrael. At first, Bilam refuses. He asks Hashem, and Hashem says, don't go with these individuals. And then the second time, Hashem says, basically, you know, you could go if you want. And Bilam decides to go, and that's where we pick up the psukim and the story, and we're going to get into some interesting ideas about Bilam. So if we look at number one, the main source, the main psukim, are Bamidbar Perichof Bez, Pasuk Chavcha. So I'm going to read inside. It says, Vayiftach Hashem es pia ason. So after the donkey gets scared off because he sees a malach, he sees an angel on the path in two different places prior to this, and the angel is holding a sword. And now in this third time, it says, Vayiftach Hashem es pia ason. Bilam hits the donkey, he hits him over and over again, and Hashem opens up the mouth of the donkey, Vatomer leBilam, and he says to Bilam, Ma asisi lecha ki kisani zeh shelosh regalim. What have I done to you that you should hit me three times? That's the donkey's argument to Bilam. Vayomer Bilam ma'ason, and Bilam says to the donkey, Ki salaltbi, because you've mocked me, you've made fun of me, Lu yesh cher biyadi ki ataraktech. If I had a sword in my hand, I would kill you right now. Vatomra ason el Bilam, and the ason speaks back to Bilam. Halo anochi asoncha, am I not your donkey? Asher achavta alai meodcha dayom hazeh, that you've ridden on from when you were from the start of your life until this day. Haskein hiskanti la sosulcha ko, am I accustomed to putting you in this situation? Vayomer lo, and Bilam responded no. And then it says in Laman Aleph, Vayigal Hashem es enei Bilam, Vayars malach Hashem nitzav baderech, Vecharbosh lufa biyado, Vayikod vayishtachu lapav. And then Bilam's eyes are opened, and he sees the malach, he sees that which the donkey had seen. So just to summarize the psukim that we did inside, Hashem opens up the mouth of the donkey speaks to Bilam. Basically, he says to Bilam, why have you hit me? And Bilam says, because you've mocked me, you've humiliated me. And then the donkey speaks back and says, have I ever done this to you in the past? Am I not your donkey that you've ridden on? So we're going to try to, and then Bilam himself sees the malach. So I just want to try to answer what the purpose of the nace was. Why did it have to be that Bilam's donkey opened its mouth and spoke to him? What was it trying to convey? So we have a strange Gemara in Masechah Sanhedrin, Daf Kufay Amud Beis, which gives us a little insight into the conversation between the donkey and Bilam, and in doing so, maybe we can get insight into what the purpose of this whole ordeal was and the whole nace. So Racheli is here, and she's going to read the Gemara. The Gemara is in, as I said, Sanhedrin, Daf Kufayam Beis. It's source number 2 on the sheets. Racheli. Okay. Wait, so the Gemara is quoting the Pasuk. It says that Bilam, he had some type of knowledge of God, some high knowledge of God. Yodea das elyon. So, okay, go on.
Hashta dad behamato lo havayada. Dad elyon havayada.
If Bilam didn't even know his animal's das, meaning the donkey's das, how could he know God's? How could he have any great knowledge of God? Look at Rashi. Das behamato lo havayada. He says, my bayel lo hadure. He didn't know how to respond to the donkey. And the Gemara is going to go on and explain the whole back and forth between the donkey and Bilam. So go on. So what is that? What is it referring to when it says that Bilam didn't know his donkey's das, his donkey's mindset? Okay, so Bilam was going with the Sari Moav, and they said to him, why aren't you riding your horse? Now.
Amar Lahu.
And Bilam responded, he said, my horse is out in the pasture, it's grazing in the wet grass. If you look at Rashi, it says Beretiva, which means wet. So my horse wasn't available, so that's why I'm riding my donkey. Okay, go on. The donkey responds. Now the donkey gets involved in the conversation, and he says, wait a minute, I'm your donkey. Okay, go on. And then Bilam responds, he says, no, I don't usually ride you. You're usually used for carrying packages. If you look at Rashi, Te'ina Amar Lahula, Te'ina Ba'alma, number 3, Lisa Masaos Filo Lerkov. So you're my donkey, but I don't use you to ride on, but rather I use you to carry packages. Go on.
Asher Rachafta Elai.
So the donkey says back to him, what do you mean? You do ride on me. Asher Rachafta Elai. It's going back and forth in the Pesukim and telling you the back and forth. So the donkey's saying to Bilam, you do ride on me. Stop lying. So then Bilam says back to him, no, I only ride on you temporarily. Normally I ride a sus, I ride a horse. But, yeah.
I can't hear.
Hello? Can you hear it now?
I couldn't hear like the last minute.
Oh, okay. Could other people hear on the phone line?
Yeah, we can.
Okay. So the horse, so basically the Gemara is going through the back and forth between Bilam and the donkey, and the donkey saying, Rachafta lai, that you have ridden on me, and Bilam says back to him, no, I only ride on you temporarily. I'll give a summary for you after, okay? So go on. Now this is the strange part of this medrash.
So wait, Rashi says?
Rashi.
When there's no horse ready?
Yeah, when there's no horse ready, that's when I ride on you. That's when I ride on the donkey. Okay. It's going back to the Pasuk.
Okay,
the Pasuk says, from the day of your birth till now, that's how long you've ridden me. Not just that, but we have intimate moments together at night. The donkey says this to Bilam. Go on. Haskein Hiskanti, according to the Pasuk,
which
Sochenes. Sorry. Haskein Hiskanti, so what does that mean? It means, am I accustomed to this? But the same root of the word of Haskein is used in Malachim with regard to one of David's wives, Avishag. When David got old, Avishag was given to him to warm him up, so it says Vatihilo Sochenes. So it's a reference to the fact that Bilam would lie with his donkey. He had a relationship with his donkey. An intimate relationship with his donkey. So just to go through the Gemara for those of you who didn't hear it, there's a back and forth that the Gemara is telling us in the Medrash between the donkey and Bilam. Basically, the Sarim Moav say to Bilam, where's your horse? And Bilam says back, oh, my horse is out. It's busy right now. Okay, but then the donkey gets involved and says, what do you mean? I'm your donkey. And he says back to him, no, I use you for carrying packages. Then the donkey says back to him, what do you mean? You ride on me. And he says, no, I don't ride on you. It's only Akrai Ba'alma. I only ride on you when my horse isn't around. And then finally, the donkey reveals this idea about Bilam, that he has a relationship with Bilam and that they have intimacy and that they're, you know, that Bilam was into that. He was into the donkey. So the question is, what exactly is the purpose of this medrash, right? Obviously, it's strange that Bilam had a relationship with his donkey, a sexual relationship with his donkey, and that's a strange thing. But before we answer that, or what the Torah is trying to tell us, or the Medrash is trying to tell us by that, the first question is, you know, what's the purpose of the donkey opening his mouth based on this Medrash? You know, why did the donkey have to open his mouth, and what was it trying to do to Bilam? So anybody want to give a possibility? Just an overall idea as to what the goal or what the purpose of the donkey, you know, talking back to Bilam was.
The conversation has like a lot. It seems like it has something to do with like this his level of loyalty to the donkey.
Okay.
Like, well, according to Bilam, he only rides it when like the horse is not available.
Okay.
But
why is he doing that? Why is he saying that? Why is Bilam saying that? They ask him, where's your sus? And he says, my sus is out to the pasture. So why is he lying? What exactly is the purpose of the Medrash? Do you want to forget about the idea of him, like, what the specifics of why it's important that Bilam had this type of relationship with the donkey and that he was intimate with the donkey. But what's the whole idea of the Medrash? So what's it getting at? Since we have a small share, we could just now take your time on it. If you know. All right, anybody on the phone line? No?
Well, I think the donkey speaking is obviously like a deviation from the natural.
It is a deviation, but the question is obviously in creating this deviation, the Torah and the Medrash is telling you this back and forth between Bilam and the donkey. So what's the point of the back and forth? What's the idea of the back and forth? I'm not so interested in like the greatness or the miraculous nature of the donkey opening his mouth, but I'm more interested in why it had to be that the donkey opened his mouth and what it's trying to do to Bilam, or what is exactly the purpose of this Medrash? And then we can get a greater idea of the nace, of what the goal of the nace was. All right? So let me take this step here, and you guys can tell me what do you think about it? It seems to me that the difference between a donkey and a sus is that a sus is like a more distinguished animal, a horse, rather than a donkey. A donkey is usually like cheaper than a horse, and it's usually used for more manual labor, whereas a horse is a sign of being distinguished. A king rides on a horse, he doesn't ride on a donkey. So the Sari Moav, it would seem like what was troubling them was that they perceived Bilam as an important person, as a person of distinguishment. And Bilam, he's trying to convey that message to them. He's trying to basically show them that he really is. So that's why he's saying back to them, listen, I really do normally ride a horse, but it just so happens that my horse is in the shop right now, and my horse is out to graze, and I don't have the opportunity to ride the horse, so that's why I'm riding the donkey. But the donkey keeps going at Bilam, and it keeps basically trying to show that Bilam's lying. So it seems to me that the main idea of the Medrash is that Bilam's trying to present himself as a certain type of person to the Sari Moav, as an important person, and the donkey, through the back and forth, is trying to undo that and expose him for being almost like a lower quality or lesser quality person. So he's trying to come off as being worldly and distinguished, and the donkey is demonstrating, especially through the last point, that he's just he's an individual who's very basic and very primitive. So that's the idea. I think that's the main outline of the Medrash, is that it's trying to basically expose Bilam for what he really is. What he really is a person who cohabits with his donkey, right? Do you guys accept that? Do you accept that? Does that make sense? Okay, so basically, well, you see that from the Pesukim also, because the Pesukim say, if you look at Lamed, it says, if you look at Chof Tes, number one, it says, Vayomer Bilam la'ason ki esalal tibi, because you have embarrassed me. So the whole experience was embarrassing. And even before the Ason, this is after the Ason opens his mouth. And then he gets embarrassed even more after that by the Ason exposing him to the Sari Moav and basically showing that the sophisticated type of person that Bilam's trying to present himself as isn't really true. And his underlying nature is that he really is a more base, primitive person. Okay? All right. Can I get some feedback on the phone line? Anybody? Tamar?
Yes.
All right. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
It does.
But still, the question still remains. So, fine. So the donkey opens its mouth, and it's basically trying to humiliate Bilam. But why is that important? You know, what's the purpose of that? Why must we humiliate Bilam at this point? So what do you guys think about that concept? Why is it important that Bilam be humiliated in front of the Sari Moav? So maybe you'll say,
why is he trying to like impress them? Like,
okay.
It's not virtuous. Who are these people anyways?
Okay, you're right. So he had this flaw. So you're basically saying that it was to get him to do tshuva, basically, or to try to rid himself of this flaw.
Yeah, not enable him to like achieve what he wants.
Okay. So but was it for him, or who was it for? In other words, was it to get Bilam to do tshuva? And basically at this point, God saw an opportunity through the donkey for him to do tshuva? Or was it for something else? Or what do you think?
Yeah, I would think it would be to...
It was for him to do tshuva.
Yeah.
Okay. See, I hear that idea. It's just that, to me, it seems like, you know, Bilam seems to be a kind of a complex person, but he has a lot of flaws. So I don't understand why he was privy to this hashgacha in this situation to get him to do tshuva. Why did God? Why is it so important that he do tshuva? Is it for his own perfection? Is there some other idea here? So that's where I'm trying to like lead the conversation in a certain direction. All right. Just one other point before. So why is it that? So let's say he was trying to be humiliated in this situation, which we all agree the Medrash is trying to point to. So why did it have to be that the donkey himself, you know, opened his mouth? Why?
Yeah, it could have been that the sorry Moab would have said to him, like...
Right. Or the Malach. How about the Malach himself? Why couldn't it just be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu opened up Bilaam's eyes, and he saw the Malach, and when he saw the Malach, so the Malach says to him, listen, you cohabit with a donkey, and you shouldn't have hit your donkey. Like, what's the purpose of doing it through the donkey? God had to create this incredible nace, this incredible miracle in order to humiliate Bilaam, but it didn't have to be through this miracle. So what exactly is that concept? Okay, so I just have an example or an idea to maybe explain that before we go on. So maybe the concept based on this Gemara, this Medrash, is that, see, when you're humiliated, there's automatically a defense mechanism that's put up, and you see that Bilaam used a defense mechanism, right? But the idea is that when the thing itself, who's involved in the humiliation, confronts you about it, so it's virtually impossible to try to avoid it and try to defend yourself. So the idea is that if the Malach did it, so in Bilaam's mind, he could always justify it. He can say, listen, the Malach didn't know, or he could always defend himself. But when the thing itself, the Ason, who's involved in the actual act that's supposed to be humiliating Bilaam, is the one who's exposing Bilaam, he can't deny it. So it's an idea in putting him in a situation where he can't deny, you know, who he really is. He can't really deny what happened. So the Ason, the opening of the mouth of the Ason, as opposed to just the Malach, is for Bilaam. It's really to make it so that Bilaam, he can't deny the fact that this happened, and that he's really not the person that he's trying to convince the Sari Moav that he is. And I'm sure we're all familiar with just examples in our life when that happens, when we're all defensive people, and when we're confronted by a situation that we're flawed, that we did something wrong, we automatically try to defend ourselves. But when we're confronted by the actual person who's been wronged or been involved in the flawed situation, it's impossible. You can't, there's nowhere to go at that point. So the idea the Torah is telling us is that God created this situation in order so that Bilaam couldn't deny, you know, who he really was. And he couldn't rely on the fact that he really was somebody else, somebody that he wasn't. But rather, he was forced into a situation where he had to admit to himself that he was really, he had this baseless instinctual drive. Okay? Okay, what do you think about that idea?
I think it's good.
It's good? It makes sense. Okay, fine. So now with that idea in the Medrash, I just want to move on to, you know, what exactly the purpose was. Because Racheli had a possibility that maybe the purpose was to get Bilaam to do tshuva. But I was arguing back that who cares about Bilaam? Why is it important? Why is it so important that he do tshuva at this point, right? So if we look at number 4 in Avos, and this kind of fits into the whole idea in the Medrash, it says, it's Mishnah Yates in Parakei in Avos. Kol mi sheyesh biyado shlosh dvarim halalu mitalmidav shel Avram Avinu. So anybody who has these three things is one of the students of Avram. Ushlosh dvarim acherim mitalmidav shel Bilaam harasha. And these other three characteristic traits are from Bilaam. Ayin tova veruach nemucha v'nefesh shvala mitalmidav shel Avram. So if a person has a good eye and he has a low spirit and he has a low soul, then he's Avram. He's mitamidav shel Avram Avinu. Ayin ra'a, if he has a bad eye, an evil eye, v'ruach gevoa, if he's very haughty, v'nefesh rechava, and he has a broad nefesh, mitamidav shel Bilaam harasha, then he's of the students of Bilaam harasha. So what do we see from this? We see that one of Bilaam's traits was that he had a ruach gevoa, that he was haughty, that he thought of himself as a very high person, as a very esteemed person. And if you look at the Rav Avadna Bar Tanura number 5 in Maseches Avos, he says, "Veruach Gevoa." To Omar, it says he says, Ne'um shomea imre kel, the word of one who listens to God, v'yodea das elyon, and who knows knowledge of God, the das elyon. So you see that the very pasuk that the Gemara, the Medrash is starting with, is the very pasuk that's used in Avos to prove that Bilam had a haughty spirit, was haughty, he was egocentric. So the whole idea, I think this fits into the Medrash, the whole idea is that he was v'yodea das elyon, that's how he perceived himself, and that's how he was presenting himself to the others. And he really had a ruach gevoah. And the idea of the Medrash is that that had to be broken down at this point. And the way it was broken down was in two manners. One was that he lost the debate to the donkey. The donkey demonstrated was matched properly against Bilam, and he overmatched Bilam in debate. So that that was a demonstration that Bilam lacked in a certain knowledge. His das was lacking. And the other is just the very act itself of that it demonstrated that Bilam was intimate with the donkey, which he didn't want people to know about. He was trying to hide. So that also broke him down. It broke down his haughty spirit. But the question was, that really fits into the idea that we were saying for the whole purpose of the donkey's mouth being opened, that it had to humiliate Bilam, break him down. And the only way to do it was through the Pia Asom, through the donkey himself. But the question is, what was the purpose of that? That was what we left off with, right? So if we look at, so I want to propose a possibility based on an idea I was thinking about. If you look at, what do we know about Nevi'im in general? Like what does a Navi have to have in order to get Nevuah? Like what qualities does a Navi have to have?
Clear head.
Okay, a clear head. Mom, do you want to comment?
I'm just listening.
Well, let me ask you, what do you think a Navi, what character traits would you characterize a Navi as being important to being a Navi?
Is it an Anav, right?
An Anav, okay.
More?
Yeah, more.
Isn't that three?
Well, what'd you say? Say the three.
I forget. He's right. An Anav.
Yeah.
Rachel. Does he be wealthy or he can't be wealthy?
No, he doesn't have to be wealthy. Yes, Racheli said, I think the Medrash says that Moshe was very wealthy, right? It says that he...
I thought that was one of them, that he has to have money.
He has to have money, okay.
He has to cover his meat, I forget what it was.
Okay. But it's like a general perfection, right?
Yeah.
Right? Okay. Anybody...
There's like three specific things.
Okay. Yeah, there are three specific things. But I think one of the things that you mentioned was something that we're going to focus on. Anybody else want to try it? Tamar, you want to have any? Or Miriam, or my mom, who's on the phone line?
No.
What makes a Navi great? What character traits do you think that you a person has to have to be a Navi? Anybody? Okay. So Racheli said, I think Racheli said that one of the key character traits is anivus, right? If you look at the Gemara in Maseches Avodah Zarah, Daf Chaf Amud Beis, it says, Upliga, there's a whole question of what character trait is the most important character trait to bring about Ruach Hashem, to bring about Nevuah. And if you look at number 6, the very end, it says, Upliga de Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Damar Rav Yeshua ben Levi, Anava Gedola Mikulon. So the character trait of being an Anav, of having some Anivas, is the most important. Shneamar, as it says, Ruach Hashem Elokim Allah Yan, Mashach Hashem Osi Levasar Anavim, Chasidim lo ne'amar ela anavim. Halamata she'anava gedola mikulan. The Gemara seems to say that anivas, that being humble, is the most important character trait to being a Navi. So, as Racheli mentioned, that is a character. So, how does that? So now, can we explain how that fits into the whole story over here? I'm trying to put the pieces together.
I think it makes help less me out. Clear.
Why does it make it less clear?
Because he's not enough. So how come he should get...
Okay, so good. So Racheli's asking a question. So Racheli says that Bilam wasn't an Anav, so how come he gets Nevuah, right?
Right.
Okay, good. All right. Anybody else? Questions? Does everybody hear that question, the Racheli's question? So Racheli's saying that he wasn't an Anav, but he was yet Bilam was a Navi. So what does this show you, basically? It shows you the whole idea of the Medrash. The whole idea of the Medrash is that it was trying to put Bilam into a state of anivus, right? Right? Bilam was a ruach gevoah, and at this point, He had to be humiliated. Why do you have to be humiliated? Because Anivas, you have to be an Anav. You have to have the character trait of being humble. Why do you have to have the character trait of being humble? Because being humble is part of Nevuah. It's part of being a Navi Hashem. That you have to be humble. Why? Why is Nevuah such an important... why is Anivas... Why do you think Anivas is the most important quality in being a Navi? Wouldn't you say... Yeah.
You can't possibly be a receptacle of God's information and knowledge if you're thinking that you're God, let's say.
Good. Okay, so Racheli wants to give a possibility. She says, why is Anivas the most important quality to a Navi? Because the whole idea of a Navi, of a prophet, is that they're secondary to the Dvar Hashem. They're not really an individual, but their job and their purpose is to convey the message of God. And in doing so, they have to put their ego aside. They have to be subject to the Word of God and simply be, as Racheli put it, a receptacle of the Word of God. So the idea is that prior to Bilam going out and being a receptacle of the Word of God, because we see that Bilam is involved in being Mevarech the Klal Yisrael, so he had to be in a state of Anivas. And even though his general character trait was that he wasn't an Anav, that he was a Gavah Lev, but there had to be a situation that presented itself in order to put him in a state of Anivas, even if it was just a temporary Anivas. So why was this state so important? So how did this state come about? Through the whole story of the donkey. The whole story of the donkey was trying to put Bilam into a state of humility. It was trying to basically demonstrate to Bilam, this is who you are. You're not somebody who you think you are, but this is who you really are. Now, only once Bilam had that realization, could he be a receptacle of Dvar Hashem. But before that, he couldn't be, until that point, or without this characteristic, he couldn't be a receptacle of the Dvar Hashem, be a proper Navi. Racheli was about to ask a question.
It just seems like there's a lot of hashkacha going on for this guy who doesn't deserve it. I mean,
right.
We're getting him to be the right person who could be a receptacle for God's knowledge and nevuah.
Right.
In order that then he can, I'm just assuming, do teshuva.
Right.
Just give the guy, let him just wallow in his own problems.
You mean, why was he chosen?
Yeah.
Right, that's a good question. Racheli's question is, why was Bilam chosen? So what do you think? What do you think? Why do you think he was chosen? All right, there has to be something about...
Demonstrate something to other people? Or?
I mean, the Gemara says that he was an incredible Chacham. He's called the Chacham HaUmos. Okay. So he had an incredible, at least potential, for knowledge. I think the reason why Bilam was chosen is because of that potential. Because he had that potential. So even though morally... He was obviously, he had lackings morally, but intellectually, he was an incredible chacham. He was a chacham like nobody else. So that's why I think he was chosen of all the people. Because he did have some insights into God. The Gemara explains what his insights were, but he did have some insights, and he was capable of that through the fact that his knowledge and his intellect was superior to other people, other individuals. But then there's a very strong question on the possibility that I just threw out. I think Racheli was going to mention it before, but what's the strong question on this svara, on this idea, this theory? You see that Bilam got Nevuah before this point, right? Mm-hmm. Bilam got Nevuah before this point, and this point only happens after, because you see that in the beginning of the Parsha, as I mentioned, the Sari Moav and Balak, they send out to Bilam to go curse Klal Yisrael, and he gets Nevuah at night from God. So we see that Bilam was a Navi beforehand, and yet the Svara that I'm trying to convey or present is that really Bilam needed this experience with the donkey in order to get him to be at least somewhat humble, so that he can be a receptacle of the Dvar Hashem, he can be a Navi. But yet he was a Navi beforehand, so how do you explain that? How could it be that Bilam got Nevuah beforehand, and only now is this experience occurring prior to him being Mevarech Klal Yisrael? What's the difference? Why would there be a difference, at least, theoretically? Right? So I think there's two types of... How would you answer this? I think there's two types of Nevuah, right? And the Rama mentions this in the Yad. One type of Nevuah is really for the person himself. There's a private Nevuah, right? But what's the other type of Nevuah? What's the other job of the Navi? To go out and to teach Klal Yisrael, to tell Klal Yisrael a message. So there's really two... There's two roles of the Navi. There's the individual role, and there's the role of the Navi in terms of being a shaliach, being a messenger to Klal Yisrael. So maybe the idea is that when you're, in terms of a private, being a private Navi and gaining a private message, anivus isn't as essential of a quality as it is when you're going out to Klal Yisrael. Why? Because when you're going out to Klal Yisrael and you're really conveying to others the Dvar Hashem, it's not just for you, so you really have to subjugate yourself to the Word of God and to the will of God. So, because it's important, the perception of others as to what's going on is very important. If people think that Bilam himself is coming up with these ideas, with these brachos, and they're not, it's not clear that Bilam is secondary to the Word of God, so then it could distort the whole entire purpose of the brachos and Bilam's endeavors to go maybe Varech Klal Yisrael. So the whole idea here, I think, of the donkey opening his mouth is to create this humility, but the humility is more important in a situation where a Navi is a Shliach Hashem. Because just as we call a Navi a Shliach Hashem, we say that the Navi is really a messenger, he's really a Shliach. He doesn't really have his own identity. He's secondary to the Word of God. So this whole experience was really a preparation for the next part of Bilam's journey. That before he goes on to the journey to be Mevarech Klal Yisrael, he needs to go through the experience of being humiliated by the donkey and recognizing what his true, you know, who his true self is. So that was. So I think that gives us like a broader idea of what the purpose of the donkey experience was. I saw an idea just before, I didn't put it in the sheets, but I saw an idea in the Ramban, and I was thinking about it, and I think it's somewhat in line with what we were saying. So I'm just going to read the Ramban inside. The Ramban's on the very psukim that we just read, and he says, "What was the purpose of Vitama Nesazeh? What's the purpose of this Nes, which is our very question?" Laharos leBilam, to tell Bilam, to show Bilam, mi sam peh laAdam o mi asum ilam. So it's trying to tell Bilam who gives man mouth and who makes a person unable to speak. Lehodio, to teach him ki Hashem poseach pi hanelamim, that Hashem can open up the mouths of those who can't speak. V'chol shekein sheyelam biratzono piyam edabrim, and even more so, he can put words into the mouth of a person who does speak. Gam yasim bepiem devaram ledaver beretzono ki akol biyado. God can create or can give a man whatever speech he wants to give him. Ul haziro, and the other purpose, ul haziro shlo yelech achar nachash v'kesem v'ikalam b'hem. And also that he shouldn't use his normal method of sorcery in order to be mekala Klal Yisrael, ki menachesh v'kosim haya, because that's who he was. So what's the Ramban saying? So the Ramban saying that the purpose of the Nes was twofold. One is to tell Bilam, listen, I am God, and I can make you speak whatever I want to make you speak. And the other purpose was basically to be mazirim, to tell him not to use sorcery, and not to be a kesem, be kalam bahem. So I think this fits into the idea. Why? Where do we see misam pelo adam? There's another place in the Torah where we say misam pelo adam. God speaks to somebody else, and he says that. Where do we see it? We see it by Moshe Rabbeinu. See, Moshe Rabbeinu, he didn't want to take on the whole mission, the whole shlichus of basically leading Klal Yisrael, because his speech was ineffective. So Hashem says to him, Misab Pel Adam, O Mi Asum Ilam. Basically, he's saying to Moshe, I can make somebody who's unable to speak. What's the idea, though? How does this fit into what we were saying? See, before Moshe was to take on the shlichus, the whole idea of being a messenger, it had to be nicker that there was no personal identity involved, but he was really secondary to God. So it really fits into the whole idea, because God's telling Moshe, you are just a pawn in the whole journey, in the whole scheme. You're not really an individual, you're not a yachid, you're merely a shaliach, you're my messenger. So as such, God is telling Moshe that he shouldn't be worried about his own ineffective speech, because he's not the gavra of Moshe, he's not the individual of Moshe, but rather he's subject to God. So the same thing is being done to Bilam here. Bilam is basically shown by God that he is secondary to God and to God's power and to God, and he's merely a pawn in the whole experience, in the whole journey, in the whole endeavor. So I think that really explains the whole purpose of the Nes. Okay? Any questions? Okay. So, but now to the seedier side of the Medrash. What's the whole idea, what's the whole concept that Bilam loved his animal a little bit too much, and that he had a thing with his animal? He was intimate with his animal. So if we look on the next page, in number 7, I just want to point out that this idea that Bilam was intimate with his animal isn't just in this Medrash, but it's mentioned 2 other times in the same Gemara. So it seems to be a very critical factor in understanding who Bilam really was. And we have to understand why, we have to comprehend why it's such an important factor in who Bilam was. So we look at number 7 in the very daf before. His name was Bilam ben Beor. And if you look at the Gemara, number 7, it says, why was he called ben Beor? Sheba al Be'ir. Because he went on an animal, meaning he was intimate with an animal. And if you look at Rashi, number 8, Racheli, can you read number 8?
Or Sheba al Be'ir. Sheba al...
Al Asono, yeah.
Kamo behima de mitra...
Mitargaminon. Okay, so Rashi explains, what does it mean? It means that Bilam was with his animal, was with his donkey. Okay, and so that's just another place in the Gemara where we see that Bilam's identified by this, by his love for his donkey and his intimacy with his donkey. And if you look at number 9, it says it again. Right before our Gemara, it says, Manda Amar Ba'al Asono Haya. There's a machlokes how to learn Bilam, but one shita says that really Bilam did cohabitate with his donkey. Ksiv Hacha Kara Shachav. It says over here that he crouched and he lied. And over there it says, Bein Raglea Kara Nafal Shachav. By Sisra, the famous Gemara says that Sisra and Yael had relations with one another, and Yael attempted to basically tire out Sisra by having relations with him. So they learn out through Gzera Shava that's here too. Bilam had relations with his donkey. And that's how we learn out Kara Shachav. So the whole purpose of me bringing in these Gemaras is just to show you that this is a key characteristic of Bilam. It wasn't just in this Medrash, but it's mentioned before in the Gemara. So the question is, what kind of crazy thing is this? Why is it that it's so important that Bilam had relations with his donkey? Why is that such a critical idea in who Bilam was? And just before we answer that question, just one last point. It wasn't like Bilam was just like, so primitive. He was a big chacham, as we mentioned before. And if you look at number 10 and 11, they both are just proofs that it says Bilam chacham sheba umos haya. It calls him that twice. So Bilam was a big chacham. He wasn't just he wasn't a partier. He wasn't just a person who was involved purely in the taibos, but he also was involved in chachma. So what is this? What's going on here? You have this duality in Bilam. On the one hand, he's this great chacham. He's called chacham sheba umos haya. But on the other hand, he's having relations with his donkey. So why is it so important, or what's the idea of Bilam having relations with his donkey, and how did it fit into the whole understanding of who Bilam was as a person? So who wants to give this one a shot? Try to explain this. We have to break it down into what's the idea of having relations with an animal, and what's the flaw behind it? What's the flaw? There's an isser in the Torah to have relations with an animal. If you're unfamiliar with that, there is an isser. So what's the isser? What's the idea of the isser?
It doesn't achieve anything. You can't have kids with an animal.
Okay, so one idea Racheli wants to say is because it doesn't achieve anything. You can't have kids with an animal. Okay, that's good. That's also another reason why the Chinuch says homosexuality is isser. One idea of why homosexuality is isser is because part of the purpose of cohabitation and intimacy is to have children. And with another man, you can't have children. Okay, anybody else? Mom, you must have an opinion on why it's usser to be intimate with an animal. Why would it be usser? Why is it prohibited?
He said the thing that they can have kids, but it has been all along usser to have relations with an animal.
Okay, but why? So what's...
Still I'm how can he have relations with...
That's my question, so answer it. Well, what does it reflect about the person? Why would a person have relations with an animal? What's the draw to having relations with an animal? I'm talking about psychologically, as opposed to like a human being. Tamar. Or mom, somebody. Miriam.
Yeah, nothing?
You've never thought about this question?
Never.
Never?
It's like connecting the person to the animal
side. Wait, Miriam, sorry. Yeah, what'd you say?
Maybe there's more of a control thing, where it's like if... have complete control of the animal, or you don't have that over a person.
Okay. All right. Good. That's good. That's a good possibility. All right. Rachel, you have enough?
Or they can, eat you after that. I don't know who has the control. No, I thought it maybe connects a person to, the animalistic side.
Oh, okay. Good.
Like, you have an infantile part of you, you have an animalistic good. Part of you, so maybe it's, all right. That's the part of a person that's drawn to animals.
Okay, so Racheli says that it connects you to the animalistic, and Miriam's saying it's more of like an idea in control. Okay. All right, good. But Bilam still was a chacham, right? He was a chacham. The Medrashim say that he was very intelligent. So there's two possibilities here, I think. And I think Racheli and Miriam are hitting on the two possibilities. But we have to keep in mind that idea that Bilam is really a chacham. So there's, before we answer that, so why don't we understand, like, what's the idea of intimacy between a husband and wife? How is it different? How is intimacy between a husband and wife different than intimacy between man and an animal? So maybe we can just identify that. So I'm going to go back to the source of intimacy between a husband and wife. If we look at number 11, and we go back to Bereishis, Perek Beis, Pasuk Chavdal, it's a famous Pasuk. Al kein yazov ish es aviv es imo, v'davak be'ishto v'hayu levasar echad. Therefore, a man should leave his father and his mother, and he should cling to his wife, and they should become one flesh, levasar echad. Okay? So what is the meaning of this Pasuk? The Ramban has a nice idea, and he actually contrasts intimacy with an animal with intimacy with a human being, with your wife. He says, "Va'nachon be'enai." So what is the explanation? Because he rejects Rashi's explanation. Ki abehema v'hachaya ein lahem dveikos b'nekivosehen. There's no real clinging b'nekivosehen. Okay, we're going to explain that. Aval yavo hazachar is in nekeva shi'imatze v'yelchu lahem. All it is that the male, he finds the female, and he cohabits with the female, and then they leave each other. There's nothing beyond that. So this is what the pasuk means. So the woman really comes from man, and she's really like a part of man himself. And he clings to her. And she's in his chest like his own flesh. And he desires to be with her. I'm not sure if it's she desires to be with him or he desires to be with her, but there's a desire to be with one another. Once this occurred with man, husam tivo betoldosav, it became part of the very nature of man. Lios hazacharem mehem devekim benishosam. That the males, they cling to their females. Ozim es avim es imam, they leave their parents. Viroim es nishosan ki iluhein imam levasar echad. They look at their wives as if they are with them like one flesh. V'chein ki achinu bisarenu hu, al kol she'er bisaro, hakrovim b'mishpacha yikru she'er basar. Those that are krovim, that are relatives in your family, they're called she'er basar. V'hine yazov she'er aviv imo v'korvasam v'yire she'ishto krova lo mehem. So the man, he leaves his parents, and his wife becomes closer to him than his parents, than his other family. So what do we see from the Torah? The whole idea of intimacy between a husband and a wife is really a reflection of a bond between a husband and a wife, that there's a psychological connection and bond, and they're seen as a unit. The woman and man are seen together. They're really one in that sense. And whereas by an animal, there's no real bond like that. An animal is purely, as Racheli said, an animal is just purely animalistic. You basically, the man comes to the animal, male animal comes on a female animal, and then all of a sudden they leave. Whereas by the human relationship, by human intimacy, so it's really an idea in creating a bond between two people, between two individuals. So we see that really relations with an animal is a much more animalistic expression. And it's devoid of this whole psychological connection of dvekos, of creating a clinging between one party and the other party. So that's one idea that we see from the Ramban. And the other idea is, I think, what Racheli said, and I think it's a good idea, that another idea in having relations with a woman and man, and that idea, that concept, is tied to having children. So there's a philosophical goal of cohabitation between a man and a woman and intimacy, which is that you're trying to achieve inhabiting the world, which is one of the desires of Ratzon Hashem. If you look at number 13, the Chinuch explains it. Obviously, he says Mishar Shem Mitzvah Zu of Puravuk Deshia Olam Miyushov, that the world should be inhabited. Shal Hashem Baruch Hu Chafetz Biyeshuva, that God, He wants, it's His desire, it's His will that man inhabit the land, and the purpose of intimacy is to do such, is to have children and inhabit the land. It's a great perfection. So what do we see? We see that that in the Torah, at least, or in the Torah's framework, intimacy between man and woman is tied to two concepts. One concept is a psychological concept, that it reflects like a certain bond between a man and a woman, that they're tied to one another, and there's a certain closeness between them, and that's expressed through the intimacy. And the other idea is that with a man and a woman, there's a philosophical goal, there's a philosophical aim of pru urvu, whereas by an animal, it lacks those two qualities. By an animal, there's no aim, especially if a human has relations with an animal, there's no aim, there's no philosophical aim, nor is there a psychological connection, because you can't really connect with something that's not really human. You can connect with something that's not human, but it lacks in that connection, that level of connection. So I think Racheli was explaining that Bilam was really he was really relating to this in a purely animalistic sense, right? The intimacy with the animal, with the donkey, is really like a purely animalistic framework of cohabitation, of intimacy. Whereas in the Torah's framework, the idea is really more of a psychological bond and also for a philosophical aim. And of course, there's an instinctual drive, an instinctual gratification, but it's a combination of all those things. Whereas by Bilam, it was merely animalistic, purely animalistic. So I think that's the approach that we can take. But what is that? So maybe we can just give it a little bit of a greater framework here, because Bilam was a chacham, and as my mom was so angry about, how could we put Bilam on this pedestal if he was having relations with an animal? How do we understand this concept? So I think maybe the possibility is, this is one possibility, it could be that Bilam had a philosophy. He really had because he really was a great intellectual. He was a chacham, and his philosophy was as such. There's really two parts to a person. There is the instinctual part of the person, and actually I would say three, but there's the instinctual, the psychological, and then the intellectual part of the person, right? So normally, those three parts of a person, they're intermingled with one another. And in the Torah, the whole idea of the Torah is that we don't try to repress the instinctual, but we try to combine everything, but we try to motivate it and aim it towards the intellectual and more towards the human part of man, the nefesh part of man. For example, we take eating, and we make brachos for eating, and we tie it to korbanos. So there's a whole idea of taking the instinctual and trying to push it into the frame of the framework of the nefesh and the intellectual. So that's how Torah resolves this conflict between those two parts of man, or the various parts of man. We recognize that they all exist, and we put them together, but we try to guide it and dictate it towards the nefesh, and then ultimately the hope is that a person will be more engaged in the nefesh and less engaged in the lower animalistic parts of man. So it's the same thing with intimacy with your wife. There is an instinctual part, but there's also a psychological gratification, and there's also a philosophical goal and aim. So we try to utilize all three together, and eventually we try to focus the person on the nefesh, on the ultimate good. But maybe Bilam had a different philosophy. His philosophy was that it's better to separate everything. In other words, take care of the instinctual by itself, and only be engaged in the animalistic aspect, and don't have it intermingle with the psychological and the intellectual. And then when you're involved in chachma, also you'll only be involved in chachma. So maybe that was Bilam had a philosophy of life. Basically, he held that it doesn't work that way. It works better if you just separate the two. Separate your intellect and your psyche from your instincts, and then you're better off. That way, you could just get rid of your instinctual drive and all the energy that's put into the instinctual, so you can focus more on the intellectual drive. So that was maybe that was Bilam's philosophy. He had an intelligent philosophical approach, which is that basically divorce the instinctual, divorce, like, for example, cohabitation from the psychological and from the intellectual, because cohabitation with an animal, with an asom, with a donkey, lacks in those qualities of intimacy, the psychological and the intellectual and the philosophical aim. And maybe his whole idea was to divorce the two. And by divorcing the two, you won't get trapped and you'll be able to engage fully or more completely in chachma. And maybe that did assist him in gaining a higher level of chachma than your average individual. But obviously his philosophy is the wrong philosophy. The Torah is telling you the right philosophy. The right philosophy is that a person can't separate the two. It's impossible to separate the two. And you're only going to basically create stronger attachments to the instinctual by doing it that way. So the Torah's philosophy is really not to do it that way, not to do it how Bilaam did it. But really, Bilaam had his own philosophy on life. He was a chacham, a tremendous chacham, tremendous intellectual, and he believed that the best method and the best way to live was to separate the drives, to separate the human aspect from the instinctual aspect, the instinctual aspect and the animalistic. So maybe that explains one of the key natures of Bilaam, of who he was. That on the one hand, he was a great chacham, but on the other hand, he had this philosophy of life, and he believed that he could basically separate his drives and satisfy the animalistic in a purely animalistic sense. So maybe that's why the Gemara puts such emphasis on Bilaam having relations with his donkey and cohabiting with his donkey, because he's trying to tell you a little bit of who he was and his philosophy, and that he, as I said before, he related to the instinctual in a purely instinctual, not in a psychological way and not in an intellectual way. All right? So you guys accept that idea? Mom, does it make sense? Is it clear? Or Tamar?
It does make sense what you say, maybe, but is there anybody, Rambam, who explains why this has been happening to Bilaam?
Why what?
Why did he have that? I mean, this is what you were telling us here. This is your conclusion.
Yeah, because I'm trying to create...
Yeah, you're trying to connect. I understand that.
Yeah.
Anybody
there's very few Mefarshim on this Gemara in Sanhedrin, on Chelek. In looking it up, the Yad Ramah says that it was tied to his Avodah Zarah. He gives a different approach. He says that Bilaam's Avodah Zarah, his method of Avodah Zarah, was tied to the sexual. And he tries to tie it into the two. But I didn't really understand that concept so much. You know, how they... Obviously, Avodah Zarah is instinctually based, but the Gemara doesn't really say that. It doesn't really tie it to the Avodah Zarah. And I'm just trying to grapple with, on the one hand, the Gemara is focusing on this one idea, and on the other hand, Bilaam was a tremendous chacham, and he got nevuah. So how do we reconcile the two? But there are really very few mefarshim. The Marsha doesn't really say much on it. Rashi doesn't really comment on this Gemara. There's really not so many mefarshim on this point, on this specific point, that Bilaam, you know, really had relations with the donkey. So I'm just trying to, you know, make sense of it. Make sense of this point.
Why do you think they bring this relation with the donkey in?
That's what I'm saying. I'm trying to explain that. There's two reasons. Yeah, one was that it was trying to humiliate Bilaam, and it was trying to create a certain humility in Bilaam before he's expressing the Dvar Hashem. And the other idea is it's telling you a little bit about Bilaam, his philosophy, that he had a philosophy of life, that he maintained that it was better to separate your drives than intermingle them. Because you see that most people's drives are intermingled, the psychological and the instinctual and the intellectual, but they're usually weaker on the intellectual aspect, and they're usually driven to the instinctual because it's stronger and it drives a person away from the intellectual. But the Torah gives us a way to do the opposite, to drive us towards, you know, the nefesh, towards the human aspect of it. So really, maybe Bilaam recognized that. He recognized that by intermingling everything, by intermingling your drives, you're going to be drawn away from the true human nature of man, and it's better to separate them and just, you know, just gratify the animalistic, the instinctual, and by itself without all the other aspects, the other, you know, the other parts of man.
Does the donkey maybe symbolize something?
I think it's the donkey. Yeah, it's a good question. I think the reason, well, in the Medrash, the whole idea of the donkey is the donkey was like a lower form than the sus. The donkey is like the most, it's like a base animal. It doesn't, there's nothing distinguished about the donkey. So the whole idea was that it's almost downgrading Bilaam a little bit more, that it was with a donkey. Because the donkey is really, it's really just a functional animal. It's used for carrying packages. It's not really, there's no real, it's not like a dog. It doesn't have any characteristics that would make it similar to a human in any sense. It's a very base, primitive action that Bilaam's partaking of. So I think that's why it's an awesome. It's a good question, Mom. I think that's the reason. Okay? And I think it makes it even more strong when the awesome breaks Bilaam down. Because he's not being broken down by what you would consider the smartest animal in the jungle. You know, like, he's not being broken down by, you know, a chimpanzee or a dolphin or anything. But more by a donkey, like a very baseless, considered like a dumb animal. So you see that it's really an idea in creating that humility, and also it's to demonstrate the animalistic nature of Bilaam, that he was really involved in instinctual, in a pure sense.
I got it. I just I still have a problem, and you cannot solve it for me. I have a problem of Bilam getting the nevuah versus what he has sexually, I mean, he has relation with the donkey.
I told you. I know it bothers you. I know. But you just need to make sense of it, you know?
I will try to make sense.
No, because the idea is that Bilam really was a tremendous intellectual, and perhaps his philosophy did help him achieve higher heights of intellectualism, and because of that, that's why he was granted the nevuah. But you see that when he was acting on behalf of God as a shliach, as a messenger, to give over a message to Klal Yisrael, he had to be in a state of humility. He had to be secondary to God.
Yes.
Okay, but good question. All right. But Miriam made a point also about the idea, maybe. So just another possibility, I don't want to downgrade it. This is my brother's possibility. It is also an idea of narcissism also, like having relations with an animal, because when you, I mean, it's tied to a similar idea, but when you have relations with an animal, there's really no identification with an animal. It's merely, and it just demonstrates an inability on the part of the person to give himself up to anything else. It's almost like a narcissism. It's a love of the self, and you can't give of yourself to anybody, any other human being. So that's why it's with an animal, with a donkey. So it's just demonstrating to you the level of narcissism that Bilam had as a person. To have relations with an animal is an expression of that psychologically, a love for the self, an inability to give of the self to somebody else, to another human being. Okay. So that's pretty much the share. So just to review the share, that there's two main points of tonight's share. One main point is what the whole episode of the donkey, aside from the miraculousness of the whole story, what was the purpose of it? So we see from the Medrash that the purpose was to break down Bilam and to put him in a state of humility. But then the question was, well, what's the purpose of that? Why are we putting him in a humble state? So that's really an idea in being a Navi and being a Shliach Hashem. That before you express the word of God, the Dvar Hashem, you have to have a certain humility, because in expressing the Dvar Hashem, you're really secondary to God. There's no personal expression allowed when you're expressing the Dvar Hashem to others. It's important as to not distort the idea. So that was the idea. And why the donkey? Because when there's two reasons. One is because the donkey is a particularly dumb animal, and it helped break down Bilam, break down his ego and his sense of self. But the other idea is that when you're actually facing that which you know, that which was involved in the act that's embarrassing, it's harder to deny it. So the donkey opening his mouth and God opening the donkey's mouth was an idea in creating a situation where Bilam couldn't deny, you know, what had happened, and he couldn't deny who he really was. So it forced him into a state of humility. And then the other idea was the idea of him having relations with the donkey. And I think Racheli wants to say that it's an idea that Bilam, he related to intimacy in a purely animalistic way. And perhaps he had a philosophy that it's better to separate the drives of man and to simply satisfy the animalistic on an animalistic framework. And whereas the Torah's idea of intimacy is different. The Torah's idea of intimacy is tied to a psychological bond and also an intellectual aim and a philosophical goal. So Bilam had a different philosophy than the Torah's philosophy, and there were some advantages to Bilam's philosophy, but ultimately his philosophy failed, and he failed as an individual, whereas the Torah's philosophy is that we recognize that the drives are connected to one another, and we utilize them for the good. We try to elevate our drives and focus on the good and the philosophical good and the psychological ideas in order to make man more human and to elevate our souls. So that's really the difference between us and Bilam. Okay, so that's the conclusion of tonight's shiur. So thanks for calling in. Anybody have any questions on this idea? On the ideas? We heard my mom's complaints already on the shiur. Tamar, you have any?
If I don't say anything, you complain. If I say something,
No, it's a good question. It's a good question. It's hard to understand, but basically we have to take what's given to us and make sense of it, you know? And I think this is how we make sense of it.
All right,
to the best of our abilities. All right, so anyways, have a good Shabbos, have a good night, and...